meow with me, James. You can do it.
Meow.
It's not unmanly. Yeah.
Meow, meow.
Just sitting there like a lump on the radio. This is... How we doing on the Freedom Fiends? This is the Freedom Fiends broadcasting from Podbay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studio. We alter your locus aurelius by warming your brain with rejuvenated radio waves to a tasty and toasty 365 degrees Fahrenheit. This bakes your brain with freedom and keeps away the bad hamsters. How you doing, James Weeks the second? How you doing? Is it working for you? Is it working?
Doing, yep, it's working.
Can you feel
doing
it?
Pretty good here, feeling it. Feeling it.
Yeah. Yep. And I'm Michael Dean, and as always, the Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows use and reuse by anyone except governments. And Jim Jesus is supposed to join us tonight. He's having he's trying to wind up the hamster in his brain. It's not quite ready yet. So if any other fiends are listening, jump on right now. Just jump on. Don't email me. Just jump on. Just do it. Do it. Do it. Do it. All right. So James Weeks, tell people who you are and why they should know and why they may have seen you on C-SPAN. And like old people may have gotten up and tapped their TV like, is this thing broken? I think I'm looking at the fat naked man porno channel. I want to be watching C-SPAN.
Well, yeah, James Weeks. Some of you out there may know me as the guy who stripped at the Libertarian Party convention. And so that's my claim to fame, I suppose. Yeah. I believe I was the first person to ever strip on C-SPAN. I don't believe that happened before me.
Well, I don't know.
But I don't know.
You're not the first person definitely, to make C-SPAN, because C-SPAN showed still images of, remember when that Lindy England chick, that horrible woman in the military, was making prisoners strip for her amusement and taking pictures of it?
Yeah. Well, though, yeah. That, I mean, I'm talking about the first person to actually just
not to be stripped.
Yeah, not pictures of people that were forced to strip, yeah, but someone, yeah, who actually stripped.
You knew C-SPAN
on live
you
TV.
Knew, you knew, yeah, you were being filmed. Yeah. You knew better.
I knew it was live.
You knew better.
Yeah, it wasn't, definitely wasn't something that was forced out of me. did it voluntarily.
Yep. So, what's on your mind these days?
Oh, there's a lot of stuff going on right now. A lot of weird things I'm seeing going on within the overall libertarian movement, moving away from libertarian principles a lot, and it...
Yeah, that's been happening. It's kind of weird because, so, for people who don't know, and I'm going to explain what libertarian means, because there are actually people listening on radio who may not know. The people listening on the internet are probably fans of the Freedom Fiends, because otherwise, you know, you don't accidentally hear things on the internet usually, and if you do, you don't listen that long. But, you know, radio comes from a different generation when there weren't a billion channels, you know, everyone with their own channel, so to say, mm-hmm, you know, in the form of their own website, or even, you know, on the controlled internets like the Facebeefs and the Twitter, where you have your own page or feed, and that's kind of your own channel. But well, feed is how you view everything. But yeah, so when I was a kid, not everyone had their own channel. When I was a kid, there were three channels. You know, there was, where I grew up, television was over the air. It was not cable. I'm 52. And we got three TV stations. We got ABC, NBC, and CBS. And sometimes, really fuzzy, we could get the station from Canada across the lake in Toronto. And then the radio had... You know, because we lived like 70 miles from a city, from Buffalo, is the nearest city.
And you got three over-the-air channels?
Yeah, yeah.
You must have had a really powerful antenna.
No, it was just like, that's how TV was. Well, you know, I think with TV back then, they had relayers, you know. They probably had one in Fredonia, which was a you know, smaller big town, two towns over. Mm-hmm. So, Because, yeah, I mean, TV worked everywhere as a kid, except if you were, like, in the woods.
Did you have one of the rooftop ones kind of thing?
Yes.
Those can pick up some stuff.
So the TV got three and a half channels, basically, and FM radio got, maybe four music channels, and two of them kind of fuzzy, and, you know, it was like a classical station and a rock station, and then two other stations that I couldn't even really hear, so I don't know what they were, and then AM radio had a couple of, like, really fuzzy, like, at night when it does the skip thing off the stratosphere, I could hear, like, religious talk radio, probably from Oklahoma, because that's a weird thing about AM radio. Do you know about that, about the nighttime propagation?
Yeah.
James? Yeah, so for the audience, FM radio generally goes, you know, between 30 and 100 miles, and or between 5 and 100 miles, depending on the size of the transmitter and how high the antenna is. AM, you know, generally goes that same amount in the day, but at night can go 2,000 miles, or even, like, with a powerful station. Like, there's a station in my town, the big station, not the one we're on. We're on the 1,000-watt station here, KVOC. But the big station, K2, KTWO, people have gotten it in China. And there's people who, usually shortwave radio people, but they also will, like, you know, have contests to see who can listen to particular sources of radio for the furthest away. And there are confirmed sightings, so to speak, of the local AM station in Casper, Wyoming, being heard in Japan. And probably, I would say, it's probably more likely a 50,000-watt station from Casper would be heard in Japan than a 50,000-watt one from New York City or LA, because, you know, there's so much radio interference in big cities. Mm-hmm. Whereas in a small town like Casper, you know, there's two radio stations and there's nothing around. I mean, that 50,000 watt station covers pretty much the whole state, almost the whole state, but it has as many listeners probably as the 1,000 watt station in town, because both of them cover town and there's nothing else mm-hmm. in the state until, like, Cheyenne, you know, there's people, and there's some pockets of people, but this state, my town, Casper, is 56,000 people. Cheyenne is about the same. Cheyenne is basically North Denver. It's real citified, but Casper is not real citified. And, you know, the next biggest town in the state is Gillette. It's like 22,000. And then it goes down, like, the next town is like 12,000. And it goes down from there. And there's lots of towns in the state that are, like, you know, 82 people and 27 people and 300 people.
Some really small towns.
Yeah, I mean, when you drive in the state, there's, like, nothing. It's kind of like the Flintstones, where the same background appears over and over and over. And it's like a silo and then a barn and then a silo and then a barn. So, yeah, that's how radio works, and that's how it worked when I was a kid. And then cable TV happened when I was about 18. And, you know, my friends got it because, MTV. But it was like $50 a month back then, which is like $150 now probably, mm-hmm. or $120. And, you know, like, everyone would go over to the person's house who had cable TV, because not many people had it. So if you had cable TV, you know, you could get chicks, because, like, people would hang out at your house.
you want to have the cable TV.
Yeah, like, yeah. But there were only, like, 15 or 20 channels on cable TV back then, too. There was, like, you know, MTV. I think there was C-SPAN. I think it existed back then. You know, there was some kind of, and there's some kind of local government access programming that started early. Like, basically, I'm going to give everyone a hint about spreading liberty in your town. This is some news you can use. So, do you know what cable access TV is, James?
Actually, public access cable. I'm not exactly sure how it all works, but I know what it is in kind of passing.
I've
always have heard, you know, public access TV, but I'm not exactly sure how the public accesses it other than it's there.
Yeah, it's basically, so when cable first started going, and this is before the internet, when the only reason they were laying cable was for telephone wires, you know, which used to be above ground and are still in my town. That's weird. There's not many towns left like that, but, you know, we have telephone poles Do you even have like electric? Do you have poles in your town? I don't mean Polish people.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, are they electricity?
Yeah, we
do. In the,
we have electricity poles because I know that anytime a dog urinates on it, power goes out at my house.
Is that an exaggeration? Or are you just saying your power?
Power goes out a lot. Yeah.
Yeah, from weather probably.
Yeah, weather something. You know,
you're in Michigan. Yeah,
mm-hmm. They have a bunch of lines that run through this forest near me that connects to my neighborhood, and so whenever there's a little bit of wind, a branch usually falls on one of those lines, and
when it's quiet, can you hear them humming at night?
No, because they're underground coming like through my neighborhood, but once I get out of my neighborhood, there they are running through the woods.
But do they hum? Like if you stand under,
I'd never stood underneath them. I guess
you can
often
hear them hum. It's kind of creepy, and it makes me wonder. Like people used to talk about cancer clusters, which are statistical anomalies where there are, you know, much higher than the normal incidence per capita of cancer in a given area. And it's often because there's, you know, a chemical plant or a chemical dump, but sometimes it's near power lines, which is really creepy. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if that's still a thing. I think some of that's been debunked. I don't know. I'm sure there's other stations. I'm sure there's other talk radio stations that'll tell you it's a leftist plot to make your children gay. But
I've heard that the new one is it's the smart meters doing it.
Yeah. Well, I looked into that and actually almost wanted to believe it. Hang on a second, for a minute, because about a year, you know, I've been really sick over the past couple of years, and I am taking Tylenol right now because you people listening give me a headache. No, I'm kidding, but. I have a mild headache from talking. Because I did a bunch of interviews lately. But I looked into it because I was hearing a buzz in my ears, really quiet, for like 6 months. Turned out to be prednisone side effects of the drug I was on. I'm tapering off. Man. I'm almost off. I hear it less now. I thought it was the government.
Government coming to get you.
Trying to gaslight me.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends. An invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Are you sick of government lackeys who say you didn't build that? Are you tired of elitists who think you need a government permission slip for everything? Everything you do is an A to B conversation, and the government should see their way out of it. Create true free markets by adopting the BIPCOT No Government License. The BIPCOT NoGov license allows use or modification of any product, service, or software except by governments or government agents. Go to BIPCOT.org. That's Bravo, India, Papa, Charlie, Oscar, Tango.org.
This is the Philippines with news you can use. So a lot of talk radio. A lot of talk radio is just opinions, and opinions really aren't of use. They just irk you, and they're usually wrong opinions on talk radio. But I'm going to give you two pieces of news you can use in the next segment. So I was talking about public access radio. I went off on a tangent. I interrupted myself twice, I think. So public access radio exists because when they first started putting in, not public access radio, public access TV, cable TV exists because when they first started putting in all these cables, a lot of people across the country were upset. A lot of towns were like, we're not going to allow this. We're not going to let these big city corporations come in here and put these cables in to bring this uncensored filth to our community. And so the compromise that was made was, well, you let us dig up the commons. You let us dig up all the streets and use, what's it called when they take your property?
Oh, eminent domain.
Yeah, use eminent domain if they need to go through your yard and dig a ditch. And they did that all over the country to put in cables. Actually, now they usually do it through the sewer a lot of places so they don't have to dig new holes.
If they have sewers, yeah.
Yeah, if they have sewers. But... if they have modern enough sewers that they can, you know, send a robot through there to even pull a cable through. They used to send rats. I'm not kidding. Rats and cats.
Now they got around, sweet robots.
They'd put a string around its collar and send it through the cable, through the sewer and, or, you know, through the hole, and then get the string on the other end and then pull a bigger piece of twine through and then pull a cable through. That's true.
That reminds me of an episode of Always Sunny in Philadelphia where they're trying to get a cat out of a wall with another cat.
Yeah, there was an old lady who swallowed a fly. It's one of those things.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, man. Yep. So public access TV is, hang on, I have to label something that I'm formatting here. Let's see. No, I'll label some other way. All right. So public access, cable access TV is basically the compromise that was made was you can dig up all our communities, but you have to give us something in return. And what they gave people, the people in return was, well, on every cable system, we're going to have one channel where the community, you know, where like the city can run their city bulletin board. And a lot of places still do that. But then other people sued for free speech access instead. And so like now, basically, if you go into your local TV station, you can produce a TV show and they have to put it on the air. This is bizarre. And every libertarian should know this. We never explained what a libertarian was either. We'll get to that later.
We'll have to get to that, yeah. But that, yeah. I did not know that this is very useful information.
James's things are going through James's head. Like the 24-hour C-SPAN clip. Of, no.
I they could do that.
They would. No, you can't swear. You can't be naked.
Well,
you probably can't even be nearly naked, and you can't, usually you can't do hate speech, but sometimes you used to be able to, like they used to, I mean, somebody I know used to do a cable access show in San Francisco in the 80s, early 80s, and he said, like, he'd be into going to do his show, and, like, the white power guys would be on the way out, like, hey, what's up, man? You know, like the shift, like the, what's the cartoon with the wolf and the sheep, like, clocking in and clocking out. I don't know who's who in that, because my friend was not a sheep, but the wolf and the dog, let's say. The wolf was, I don't know. So anyway, like, you know, they would have, like, the black power show, and then they'd have the white power show right after it. Those people probably didn't shake hands on the way in and out. But I don't know if you can do that anymore, but there's certainly nothing to stop you from putting on libertarian speech that does not call for insurrection and does not have swearing. So, I mean, that's usually the rules. So... and it used to be you had to go take a class on how to do the basics of TV, and then you'd go to the TV place and they'd let you use their equipment, their cameras and their lights and their cheap chair and their set with, you know, like the couch with a fern, potted fern on either side of it. That's where that came from. And so you can do that. You used to have to go take the class and produce the show live, but now... if you find out what their technical criteria are, you can usually bring them a DVD. Yeah, they have to play it.
Like you just bring them a documentary, right? And just have
It cannot have any cussing though. And generally there are technical considerations, and they're not very detailed. It's not like it has to look like, you know, Spielberg quality, but it's usually something like, you know, it has to be 580, you know, like 720 by 580 or 720 by 480,
decent,
you know,
resolution.
NTSC with 44.1 kilohertz audio stereo. Like, no, it's kind of detailed, but it's not that hard.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
James Weeks II, can you feel it?
Again.
feel the liberty flowing through you?
Liberty's flowing.
Cool. So we're talking about how to take over the airwaves legally and without an insurrection in your local town. So cable access TV is a requirement of the FCC. Now, I don't know why the FCC has anything to do with cable or the internet or anything other than even I could see their old people argument 50 years ago for, you know, needing to divide up the limited airwaves. But now, because of technology, even the airwaves could be almost infinitely divided. You don't need someone to allocate it. But it's turned into a giant monopolistic scam with people, basically giant corporations paying all the money to get most of the bandwidth for radio and TV. But so in order to be able... Go ahead.
They have a local access channel by me that actually, like, it runs like a regular... TV channel. They have like broadcast and programming. They have a whole thing set up where they do a bunch of different stuff. It's really funny. It's like I think it's the city that runs the whole thing, and they have like they do a bunch of different programs right there from them. What's really cool, what I like, is they do like a lot of the local election coverage that a lot of channels miss.
And you like that because
I like that because they actually, because it's public access stuff, they can't exclude third party candidates, so yeah, it gets pretty interesting. You know, when it's not just Republicans and Democrats, it's pretty, those, you know, it's fun to participate as I ran for sheriff, and it's fun to to watch too.
Yep. So the basic thing that I was trying to get at, and I hijacked myself a bunch of times, was that you can go in, you the listener, can go into your local cable company and find out what it takes to do a show. And generally, to do a show today, these days, you don't have to go in and do something live. You can produce it and bring it in on a DVD or a data DVD or whatever, or a hard drive. I don't know what they need these days. I would guess DVD, and probably even like not high res, like not, you know, they probably don't even have a, you know, Blu-ray DVD player there. Just find out what it takes and produce a show. And, you know, if you want to produce your own show, do it. But what I'd consider starting with, if you want to do something and be involved and, you know, get your neighbors mad at you and spread liberty, is ask them what the criteria are. Like, ask them, can I make something that's audio only and the video is just a still image? There's generally no reason they can tell you not to do that. And you could just take Freedom Fiends episodes and put, you know, a Freedom Fiends logo, or, you know, you could get a bunch of Liberty logos and have it go from one to the other every few,
a little,
you know,
slideshow,
like every 20 seconds or something. And, you know, you can put the Freedom Fiends or any show you want, as long as there's no cussing and as long as you follow their, like, probably really outdated technical requirements, which is good, because it's easier to do stuff for DVD than for high def. It takes a less powerful computer.
You could do one of those really cool, like those word videos where it, you know, where it has all the what you're saying all over and just flashing up as you're saying each word and with different sweet animations. You could even do something like that and bring that in. That'd be really cool to put on TV.
To run it through a speech recognition program, because they don't usually get it right all the time. Like, most of the time they do, but it would be like kind of wrong in a way that might look kind of poetic. So I used to do one.
That would be great.
before I moved to, I have experience actually doing this. So before I moved to Wyoming, and after I lived in Los Angeles, I lived in Agoura Hills, California with my wife, which is 33 miles away from LA. It's what's called, so the TMZ, the show TMZ, what TMZ stands for is 30 mile zone. And it's basically what is considered to be Hollywood, is not just the neighborhood of Hollywood, which is in Los Angeles. There's no city. There's a city called North Hollywood, which is actually in the 30 mile zone. But basically most of Hollywood production and filming, and even outdoor scene filming, is done within 30 miles of Hollywood, because people don't like to drive far to work. So that's how they kind of set it up. So we live just out of the TMZ, we live 33 miles out. And it's kind of a, like, lower class, upper class neighborhood. Like, there's actually a scene on the show Entourage where Ari, do you ever watch that show?
I never watched it. I've seen the movie, but I've never watched the show.
Okay, Ari, the manager, you know, he's fabulously wealthy. He's supposed to be like the best manager in Hollywood. And he's saying to his wife, like, you know, she's like, you always have to leave to go deal with this one client. Why don't, you know, which is then hilarity ensues and the show happens. You know, if you got rid of the client, they wouldn't have a show. And she's like, why don't you get rid of him and just concentrate on your other clients? And he's like, well, if you want us to go to group therapy for instead of solo therapy, you know, just us for wedding, for marriage couples therapy. And if you want us to have to move from here to Agora Hills, that's what's going to happen if I lose this client. So it's kind of an upper class, lower class, you know, lower upper class.
The upper middle or middle class?
Yeah, I'd say, yeah.
Or lower middle? Or
yeah. And we lived there because she bought a house there 20 years ago when it was cheap before it became kind of sheeshy.
Mm-hmm.
So we lived there and then we moved to Casper, Wyoming. But that place, you know, the cable access system there, that was a perfect place to do it. And this is the perfect kind, like a small town, you can go in and do it tomorrow. There's probably, you know, they're probably playing the rotating text list of like what's happening at the YMCA and, you know, when the next city council meeting is 22 hours a day.
Yeah, they'll probably love having something different come in there to have something different on there other than just school closings and
until they look at it.
Community bulletin boards and until they look at it.
Yeah. I mean, really,
but by that point, there's really not much they can do.
They probably won't look at it. What probably happens is the first time you submit something, they'll look at the DVD. They'll make sure there's no cussing on it. You actually have to sign a thing. Like, you're legally in a lot of trouble if you give them something that's cussing. So you can't have cussing. So then you have to produce it to their technical specs, which, like I said, is probably DVD standard definition, which is, you know, 720 by 480 or 720 by 5. I forget what it is for TV, but square pixels, 48 kilohertz stereo audio that's not distorted. That's not that hard to do on almost any editing program. And then you bring them a DVD and they will play it. They are required by law to play it. I mean, they can turn it down probably if you're like, you know, doing hate speech or have cussing. Of course they can, but or if the tech specs are not good. But if it meets that basic minimum criteria, they're required by, you know, FCC fiat to schedule you. And how often they play it and how often you need to produce a new one pretty much depends on how busy they are, how many other shows there are, and how lazy they are. And sometimes they'll forget to play it, things like that. You know, if they don't like you, sometimes they'll forget to play it, or they'll play it started halfway through or something. But, you know, you'll get some play, and you can do this continually and make a new one every month or week or every 2 weeks, depending on what they need. And you can get Liberty stuff on TV. And the best place to do this is a medium-sized town near a big city, because then there's a lot of population. You have a potential audience of maybe 1 million people or 500,000 people, but there's not going to be so many people. Like in LA, you couldn't do it because there'd be like a 2-year waiting list.
Yeah.
You know,
well,
and you can get on the list, which you should do if you're in a big city. But, you know, in a tiny town, they're going to put you on that day. But in a medium sized town, there might be a short waiting list, but, you know, they're going to be happy to have it. So contact your local cable provider. It's going to take some phone calls to find the right person to talk to. You know, the number in the phone book's probably going to get you to like, oh, you want to sign up? What's your credit card number? No, I don't want service. I have service. I want to get a cable access show on. So, you know, best thing to do is go to the website of the local cable provider and Google and search on their cable access, public access. Or find out who does the public access show and call them up or email them and ask them. You're going to have to do some digging, but once you get stuff on there.
I've dug up a little bit of info here. This is from
you're going to do it, aren't you?
Yeah, I think I am. But yeah, the resolution, according to this website for this Comcast operated public access channel, it's 720 by 480 is the minimum resolution.
Standard def.
Just standard def. It needs to be, must be frame rate of 29.35. Actually, 97.
What is it?
Yeah, 97. Yeah. Yep.
And does it say if it's drop frame or not drop frame?
It says that it gives a bunch of different. You can use any aspect ratio. It looks like.
They may mess your aspect ratio up. That'll happen.
That's what it looks like. That's what it looks like. They're showing
it'll
some
be
examples.
Fatter,
yeah, they're showing skinny. They're showing some examples of what it'll look like as it airs.
Did I make your day, James?
I'm good. You've created a monster now. I'm going to have all kinds of stuff playing.
You're not just going to play the Freedom Fiends. You should play some Freedom Fiends that have you on them.
Definitely.
And don't bother, just edit. Don't edit it so it's just you. That'll be boring.
This looks pretty easy to do. All you got to do is...
It is easy to do.
Yeah.
I forgot about this. I mentioned it on the Fiends like 5 years ago. I should mention this. I should make an ad, you know?
Yeah.
Like how to do it.
They have an online form you can fill out right on this website here.
You're going to do it during the break, aren't you? The James Weeks Hour.
Yeah, to get your time slot. This is great.
Nice. I'm glad I could be of service. So people listening should go do that and put the Freedom Fiends on until you can think of something of your own to do. And you should still put the Freedom Fiends on once in a while when you can't. And also if you write us and say that you're actually doing this and can provide some proof or I believe you, I'll put it on our website along with the radio stations at the bottom.
You know, what you could do is do a video of you doing some sweet karate moves and then just play the Freedom Fiends in the background of just the video. I mean, why not?
You have to have the rights to use whatever you're putting on. And Freedom Fiends are covered by BIPCON, no government license. So if you're not the government, and some could argue, but, you know, the FCC is the government and they require people to do this. But the latest version of the BIPCON, no government license has what's called the mailman exception, which allows non-violent, non-gun-toting, non-goon, non-three-letter agency government employees like your mailman and like a future Snowden to use things that are licensed, BIPCON, no government.
And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Are you a political activist who does things that the government might not like? Then this free ebook may save your life. Rats is your guide to protecting yourself against snitches, informers, informants, agents provocateur, narcs, finks, and similar vermin. Rats was written by OG libertarian Claire Wolf. Rats is a short book, easy to read, and available free in many formats. Download Rats free at rats-nosnitch.com. That's rats-nosnitch.com.
Worms. What's up, Braden? Thanks for joining us.
Hey, I'm jumping in.
You just got several points in the new point system. And so my new plan is to have way too many Fiends co-hosts and use a point system. And every 3 months, I'll just fire the person with the least
points. The lowest.
I'm kidding. But that sure would keep people in line in a way that I don't want to deal with people making them scared like that. But I do have an unofficial point system. And right now... who's leading? I was talking about this last night. It's new guy.
Probably me. I would assume it's me.
No, it's not you. It's, you're leading for this show. No, actually James is because he was on first, but he was scheduled. But he's doing great. But Shane is leading because two things. One,
nice. He's
been going through the schedule list on the Freedom Fiend site and writing me sometimes and saying, hey, I see you're the only host listed, or there's only one other host listed for this show. I can do it. And I'm like, boom, you got it. And the other thing is because he's a great proofreader and he's willing to proofread really long documents and white papers that I write.
Mm-hmm.
So lots of points, but you get a lot of points for jumping on and just being good, Braden. For, since we fixed Fiend Phone, you haven't been droned yet.
That's right. No droning here.
Yeah. Yeah. So we fixed it. You didn't have to buy new internets or a new computer. So we're going to finish up here real quick. I'm going to give you some more news you can use. Is James Weeks still here?
He's still here.
He's off filling out the form for a cable TV access show.
I gotta get that.
What's your town? What's
it called?
Can you say your town?
Livingston County.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You call it, like, you know, Livingston After Dark or something.
So, well, I'm thinking I'm just going to do some sweet karate moves and put the Freedom Fiends on the back of it and put it out there. I think I like that.
Just make a compilation of the best parts of every episode that you're on.
Yeah,
and, you know, those criteria you met, you could probably meet them using Windows Movie Maker, which comes free with every copy of movies of Windows.
Yeah,
you know,
definitely.
What? They probably don't even check. They want something that's not horrible video and horrible audio. Their tech guy will probably check the first one you bring them. You know, and they may forget to put it on once in a while. You may have to call them up and remind them, but it's a lot of fun. And in a medium-sized town, there's a lot of people that can potentially see it. You could also make stickers, you know, and I wouldn't put stickers anywhere. It's going to bother people, like light poles, but, you know, put them, make some way to get the news out. You know, make posters, make flyers, whatever. Mm-hmm. At least you'll get, if you're on late at night too, you'll get the unemployed stoned loaders who are very susceptible to liberty, apparently. We're going to talk about that in the second hour. But so the other news you can use is, first of all, when you buy new computer equipment, always pay extra for the, like, you know, replace no matter what, the $20 per year they usually charge, or $30.
Accidental damage warranty.
So Jim Jesus is not on tonight because he spilled coffee on his brand new computer. And I don't even know if he wants me to say this or not, but it's a teaching hospital moment. First of all, always use sippy cups. I use sippy cups. They're actually not sippy cups. They're cups that have a straw in them, that have a lid on them. You can buy them at Walmart. There's different kinds. Find ones you like. You know, when you spill them, they don't spill much or any liquid. And secondly, if you do ever spill anything in a computer, here's the thing to do, or any electronic equipment: unplug it immediately, flip it over and take the battery out. Jim had to do that with 16 micro screws. He cut himself in the process and bled on his new computer.
Oh, wow.
So then, you
know, they really made that hard to get the battery out?
That's so you'll buy crazy. A new one. I know, that's crazy. On mine, it's like you push a little plastic button and it pops out.
Yeah, that's how my laptop is. I'd never heard that on a laptop. I've seen that on phones where they make the phone batteries difficult to remove now, but on laptops,
you can't buy aftermarket ones easily. Yeah, so I would recommend actually having this be a criteria when you're buying a new computer. You know, if there's two computers and everything else is pretty much the same and they're the same price range, find the one with the easy to remove battery for this Definitely. Reason and other reasons.
Mm-hmm. That's because you don't want to have to, because batteries go bad easily. You want to be able to replace that.
Yeah, they take, if you use a laptop out of the house a lot, within a year or two, you're going to need to replace the battery because it won't hold a charge for very long. Yep. So we're going out. So then put the computer in rice, dry rice, after you shake all the liquid out of it. No, put it in. Are you joking? We'll have time.
I'm joking. No, please don't do that.
Just dry rice.
Hang on. Take all the rice you have in your house, put it in a bag, put the computer in it, leave it open so it can dry out. Paper bag's best.
Boom.
Yeah, news you can use when we're going to break. You don't jump in with jokes. Braden, you just lost a point. You
teaching gained five
by coming on, but you lost one in the teaching hospice. All right.
The Freedom Fiends now have a free app for your Android phone, tablet, phablet, or other chromed robot turd, available now from the Google Play Store, Amazon, and FreedomFiends.com. Lovingly handcrafted by head hamster Michael W. Dean, the artisanal Freedom Fiends radio app allows you to listen live, keep up with the podcast, chat directly with other fiends, get discounts on bigger buttons, brainwash yourself with a 24/7 random episode, and so much more. You know the Freedom Fiends is the best libertarian radio show in the world, but when the fiends aren't live, you can use the app to listen to LRN.FM from anywhere. The Freedom Fiends radio app is like having a virtual libertarian re-education camp in your pocket. It's your gateway to the exclusive, high-demand group that is the Freedom Fiends. Install the Freedom Fiends radio Android app today. It's free, and of course, it's covered by the BIPCOT no government license. Tell two friends, review it on Google Play and Amazon, prepare for the inevitable death of terrestrial radio, and get ready for LibPair with the Freedom Fiends radio app for Android. Worms.
is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting through the Libertarian Re-Education Center's low-orbit ion cannon, high atop Financial Peace Plaza on the artificial satellite LibFair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. Please
hang on a sec. Hang on a sec. You're doing great. You're doing great. Daniel, board up, bring the music back. Please.
The music is back.
This is a teaching hospital. All right.
We need the music so that you can insert your purple wire into your cortex now. Also,
there you go.
Yeah, there's my music.
Yeah.
The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOD no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOD.org.
Yeah, and
cool.
I think I told every board op this at our network, but maybe they forget because we're more demanding than other shows because we care, unlike most other shows. But yeah, you don't turn off the music in the beginning. When someone starts talking, please turn it down to half. It's like hitting a freaking brick wall when you cut the music, really. It's like, It's like, yeah, we're going. And you're bored up. You're just grabbing us and just tossing us into a brick wall. That's what it feels like.
Man. This is like a high demand group.
It is. It's high demand even for the board ops. And I'm pretty sure I've said that to all of them. Board op just lost a point. I'll take one of his buttons back. All right. And this is a teaching hospital. That's why we're trying to teach radio as well as do radio. That's why I stop and yell at people. You did great, Braden. Especially you came in. Did you time it or did you just know intuitively?
You know, I've probably heard too many Freedom Fiends episodes and I just knew when to do it.
Yeah. It's basically instinctively. You have to wait 10 seconds and then you start right, you know, within a couple seconds of that. Okay. You wait 10 seconds, here's some more teaching hospital because some radio stations are playing something else during that 10 seconds. So if you wait 10 seconds, you won't get cut off. So I want to talk a little bit about some other stuff. We were talking about how to get a public access television show to play the Freedom Fiends and other things. And we got a little more news. You can use updates. Jim Jesus wrote me and said the computer he spilled coffee on because you got to use a sippy cup. That's a rule of radio. There's actually, you know, one of those parody Twitter accounts. I forget if it's Mark Edge Googling or Ian Freeman Googling, but neither of them are Mark Edge or Ian Freeman. I think they're actually, I think one is Nicholas somebody. And the other one, I think, is Puke from Puke in the Gang, that podcast on LRN. But maybe, I don't know. There's actually no one knows, I think, who does either of them. And I think one guy, like, didn't want, like, someone, he outed himself or someone outed him. So then he had a, like, I will sell this parody account for charity and give the money to some charity. And he raised $10 and pretended to sell it, gave $10 of his own money to the charity. And then I think he's still doing it because he wanted to. Hey, that's, I don't consider that cheating. I consider he, you know, gave money to charity and he's trying to hide. He's trying to protect his identity and I'm not helping him here. So
this is Ian Freeman Googling.
And Ian Freeman Googling and Mark Edge Googling talk about the Freedom Fiends a lot and talk about basically most of it. It's about what happens on LRN, which is pretty funny. LRN.fm, our other network. And there's a lot of time. And you should also subscribe, James and Braden and the audience. You should also subscribe on Twitter. Braden's not on Twitter. He's too cool.
You gotta get on the Twitter.
Yeah, and but
Twitter's good.
Twitter's better than face beef. It's harder to get kicked off and it's less confrontational. Like people, you don't get idiots yelling at you because they idiots need more than 140 characters, apparently. So
a bunch of tweets. Boom, 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 boom.
Well, people do that. They do tweet one of five.
One of 800.
I've seen that. One of 800. Here is my manifesto in 62 tweets. 620 tweets.
They'll type something up and then take a screenshot of it and post the screenshot.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you have to try to look at that. That's ridiculous. So, I mean, that works with like 40, you know, 200 word posts, but so yeah, there's another one you should check out called Freedom Fiends Out of Context or Out of Context Fiends. Either of those should bring it up, and it's often just in context quotes of great things we say each night. Like every night, if you checked it out the next day, you know, after the guy listens to it, it's Travis, who does some of our memes, you know, he listens to the show and then live tweets in the morning or early afternoon what he liked, basically, of what people said. And he quotes the people. You've probably both been quoted in there and don't know it.
Oh, good.
But you should, everyone should go subscribe to that. It's good stuff.
My favorite part about Twitter is you don't have to log in to read all that good stuff.
Yep.
Unlike Facebeef.
Yep. Yeah. Good sites are like that. Bad sites are like Facebeef. YouTube, you don't have to log in either. So I like it. Yep. What is it? Out of Context Fiends. Yeah. Out of Context Fiends is the name of it.
Cool. I'll check it out.
I don't even know where I was going with that. We got sidetracked so much. Do you guys
derailed.
Know?
Derailed. No, I'm not sure where you were headed, man.
Yeah, yeah.
We're headed somewhere on there.
Somewhere in the Alpha Centauri region, as I recall. Yeah,
apparently.
That's where we're headed. So,
yeah. But often, yeah, there's funny out-of-context stuff in there, too. Like, and I want to say, so real quick, I know where I was going. You guys sidetracked me, but it's okay. That's Freedom Fiends. So Jim Jesus said that his computer isn't really made for portability. It's made for having a great graphics card. He uses it for editing video and mining Bitcoin. But, you know, so the battery's not meant to be removed. I would say if you have a computer like that, I could see getting a laptop like that. I would buy a desktop for that. But for the laptop like that, if you're going to do that, I would take out the battery because then it's lighter and it won't die as quickly. You know, you can save it. It's life easier. You know,
well, it's like a laptop, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so it should be made for portability.
There are big laptops that are really powerful and really heavy. I know what he's talking about, but...
But even they should be...
It's a design flaw. They should, but they're not. Okay, let's move on.
Yeah.
I agree.
We've
beat this horse to death. I'm trying to go somewhere. You guys are pulling me down. You're losing points. Ouch. All right. That's another thing, too. You guys are both really new on here. The first chair fiend, who in this case is definitely me, because you guys are brand new and don't have it all figured out yet. You guys are great diamonds in the rough, but I'm trying to chip away at you to make you great. Generally, in the first segment or the beginning of a segment, the first chair person does a kind of off-the-cuff ramp, and you're just being a hate crime by interrupting that. Ooh. You really should let that get some steam. And then, like, the first chair host will usually throw to you, which means, what do you think, James? What do you think, Braden? Which means you should be listening to stuff and always having an answer in your head. And generally on talk radio, my rule is it's better to have an interruption than dead space, but there was no chance of dead space there. I'm doing the opening rant. So, and I actually took notes. This is something else you should do on radio is I always have a notepad. I take notes between breaks. I take notes of something I think of when the other person's talking to talk about next. That way you don't lose your flow. I had a whole flow planned out from one thing to another thing to another thing as a segue, and you guys just killed it. Thank you for your service.
Oh, ouch. Man.
I know. All right. So, I was going to come
flow,
on. I was going to talk. What's that?
Do your flow, man. I want to hear.
Thanks. I'm going to try. And you know, I can remove you guys live. So you won't know it. You'll keep talking. I can turn you down so the audience doesn't hear you. So if you keep, and I don't hear you. So what's that called? Ghost banning? No, there's a name for that. Do you guys know?
Fiend ghosting.
Fiend ghosting, yeah. It's,
that's the new name for it.
Ghost.
I think it's ghost banning.
Yeah, I think it is
it?
Ghost banning, yeah.
Ghost banning is another name for it, too. Yeah, it's my favorite kind of banning. It's on forums when people just are like they're not necessarily like horrible. They don't seem like they're trying to destroy you, but they're maybe concern trolls. Like I have concerns, which is often trying to destroy you, you know, consciously or subconsciously, or just someone who just no one really wants there, but they haven't really violated the terms of service. There's a lot of reasons you could ghost ban somebody, but basically they can still post. They can still read their posts in order as they appear in the thread with other people's posts, but nobody else can see their post. It is the most maddening thing to trolls. It's funny because they don't know what's happening, and they're just like, I'm over here screaming my important thoughts, and you guys are on to another topic. How dare you? But eventually, that kind of people go on elsewhere. Kind of like the people that I was railing about last week, the kid from Ohio, and the programmer. I've kind of moved on from them, and you know, there may be people who are kind of like black knighting me who are fans of mine, who may do things to those people. That's not my business. I don't care. It's none of my business. I don't condone or condemn it. I don't even want to know about it, but you know, I will probably giggle sleeping on my way to going to my way asleep at night, thinking maybe somebody's doing that because I've heard that stuff's happening, but I don't really want to know about it. But Cantwell, I'm still going to talk about nonstop because he's fun, and he, you know, he can actually take it like a man. You can poke him and he may get you banned, but then you can poke like 80 more themes about him being homeless from meth, like the image we're going to use for the show tonight made by JP. And, you know, he won't bother banning those getting you kicked off for those, because he's off to his other 85 people he resents heavily and knows by name and tries to mess with. So, yeah, you don't want to be someone's only enemy. And when you talk about them nonstop, you kind of become their only, you know, like they get in your head. So I'm fiend banning. I should make a feed. This would be hilarious to make a feed with the trolls that like is just a loop of you talking about them. And you could actually set this up if you knew their IP address, so they get a different version of the Freedom Fiend site than you do, than everyone else.
Oh, that'd be great.
And they get a different episode, you know.
Oh, that would be hilarious.
That'd be hilarious. So anyway, so we're going to talk about what is a libertarian, and then talk about how the libertarian, not party, but the libertarian world and party has been taken over by people who are not libertarians. They're not taken over, but heavily infiltrated. You know, you can never really take it over. It's liberty. It's there. And I think that people who really believe in liberty are still the majority. And I'm going to talk in the second half hour about how I found something cooler than the non-aggression principle, which is going to horrify people, because what you guys are probably going to talk about is libertarians that aren't real libertarians because they don't abide by the non-aggression principle. But so libertarian is the opposite of an authoritarian, and that's where the word comes from. It's a word created as the opposite of an existing word. Libertarians believe in, you know, if someone's not hurting anything, if someone's not aggressing against you, leave them alone. And that laws should be that way, too.
So I understand the law industries. It's not good on you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed,
buy sheep for sheep on jeep,
and Bitcoin, 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 Bitcoin.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says,
Fiend buttons are the thing for me. Some bigger than they used to be. Others once were big but now are small. It's a real true fiend, they kind of collect them all. Fiend buttons are the thing for me. Some bigger than they used to be. Others once were big but now are small. It's a real true fiend, they kind of collect them all. Fiend buttons are the thing for me. Some bigger than they used to be. Others once were big but now are small. It's a real true fiend, they kind of collect them all. Fiend buttons are the thing for me. Some bigger than they used to be. Others once were big but now are small. It's a real true fiend, they kind of collect them all. Fiend buttons are the thing for me. Some bigger than they used to be. Others once were big but now are small. It's a real true fiend, they kind of collect them all.
Are you there?
Yeah, we're back talking about what a libertarian is.
All right.
So as being discussed in the last segment, you know, libertarian is the opposite of an authoritarian. It is the other, you know, not really the other side, I guess to say, but the complete opposite of. You have a total authoritarian and then a total libertarian, which would be absolutely no rule over you, where an authoritarian would be total rule over you. And of course, this brings like kind of like you could have like a dialing scale with various people leaning somewhat libertarian while not being, you know, all the way over to being a libertarian, still supporting some authoritarianism, different from a totalitarian only in a degree. And so you have that kind of stuff. Well, sure. A full libertarian would, of course, reject all rule, all authority over them. No authority, you know, no one above them as a ruler.
Okay.
So that's kind of what the, you know, the word was kind of means. Is the best way to kind of explain it, I guess.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't know, you got any thoughts on...
No, I think you're definitely on the right track. It's kind of a hard word to really lock down because libertarians are so individualistic. You know, everyone has their own kind of interpretation on that kind of thing. But in general, they're into, you know, property rights, things like the non-aggression principle. They're in favor of capitalism, free markets, things like that. So maybe not everyone's into all those things, but in general, those are typical qualities of a libertarian.
Yeah, I'd say that could be described as some typical qualities. It really depends on, there are multiple, you know, different schools of thought on what a completely anti-statist society would function like and look like, and a lot of even disagreements over what different things are called.
Right.
Because libertarians are so individualistic, there's a lot of different arguments over that kind of stuff. Semantics debates mostly.
Yeah, but
then you come in and you have people who aren't even remotely libertarian.
But these people sometimes call themselves libertarians, don't they?
Yes, they do. You have people who just are not even remotely libertarian that call themselves libertarians while supporting some of the most authoritarian things you could possibly support.
Like maybe a certain gentleman who was in an election recently?
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking about.
Yeah. There was a few examples of that coming out of this last election here, where we saw a lot of people who were claiming libertarian leanings or trying to even say they were libertarian without saying they were libertarian, coming out, and it brought a lot of people who aren't libertarian out into the libertarian movement, now thinking that they're libertarian. Because someone else said they were libertarian or implied it.
Wonderful. You know, I'm not quite sure how I feel about that. I guess if people want to call themselves libertarian and they have different ideas than me, I can't really stop them. Suppose. Well, you mentioned, though, there's the I think it's called the world's smallest political quiz. So maybe these people ought to take that quiz and really figure out if they are libertarian or not.
I'm actually not a big fan of that quiz at all. I think that quiz is, for one, very limited in scope.
Yeah.
Like it's a 10 question quiz. I mean, it's great for like a recruitment tool.
Yes.
To try and expand people thinking into thinking more libertarian thoughts. Maybe they hear the word for the first time. But you know, if you anyone who doesn't score, you know, all the way as a at the top of the chart.
That test is kind of
pretty broad.
Yeah, and they're also leading questions, like
very leading.
Like, would you rather kill all the kittens in society, or would you rather pay less taxes?
Right.
Oh, you're a libertarian.
Very, very leading questions. I don't really like quizzes with leading questions, but
yeah,
you got to be when you're writing the quizzes, try and.
Sounds like we're headed towards the market.
Yep.
Some of that free market libertarian action.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Are you sick of seeing peaceful people being locked away for victimless crimes? Instead of trying to get out of jury duty, consider taking it so you can do the right thing. A single juror with a conscience can send someone home to their family instead of to a jail cell. If there's no victim, how can there be a crime? And if the judge or prosecutor are keeping you in the dark, what are they trying to hide? You can vote your conscience instead of being a pawn of the state. For more information, Google jury nullification or check out the Fully Informed Jury Association at fija.org.
Freedom Fiends. We are back. Talking about what is libertarianism? Who is a libertarian?
What are some of the ways we could... we were talking a little bit about the world's smallest political quiz.
Yep, we covered that.
You know, about how leading those questions are. There are... the world's even smaller political quiz, okay, which was just one question. Do you need a king? Yes or no?
Ooh, nice. Nice.
I think that goes even... I mean, if you want the leading quiz that's really short, that would be the one to go for.
That is the one.
But, you know, you could have... there are a lot of quizzes out there that can help you, you know, learn a little bit, you know. A lot of websites out there to learn and read about libertarianism. That's the best thing. If you're hearing the word libertarian for the first time on this show, I suggest you just go and Google it. Just go Absolutely. And start reading stuff. Read the Wikipedia page. Read any books you can on the subject. If you want to know more about what it is that libertarians stand for and why we are in opposition to authoritarianism and why the current political leaders in this system are very, very authoritarian.
Definitely. You know,
we definitely need to address some of these issues with the authoritarianism in our society.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Yeah, something I'd like to bring up is, you know, we're talking about reducing authoritarianism, but we're not just talking about one particular person or one particular party. It's authoritarianism across the board. Like, we want less of it, whether you're a Republican or you're a Democrat, or if you call yourself a libertarian, we still want you to be less authoritarian.
Yeah.
At least that's me.
Definitely. There's no better of the major political parties that govern the United States. There's not really one that is any less authoritarian than the other. You may have
a furries. I'm going to give you guys the rest of the show. Forget that thing I sent. I'm going to do that tomorrow.
All right.
Have fun. You can spread your little wings and fly now, kids. Just We're deliver flying. On the payoff of what we promised. It sounded like you already are. So take care. Thank you.
All right.
For your service. You guys get extra points. Worms.
Yeah, so let's see. We were talking about the, you know, there's no one party that's less authoritarian than the other one. They have different ways in which they're more, you know, one party might be more or less authoritarian than the other when it comes to different aspects.
Right.
One way that some people have, in a really broad brush, painting libertarianism, to sum it up in a sentence, we may lean a little bit more right on economic issues and a little bit more left on social issues, but that's not really a good way to describe it. That's not like the be-all end-all of what a libertarian is, but that may mm-hmm. show you kind of where we would stack up against, with where we would say that, you know, the Republican Party is definitely more authoritarian when it comes to their social standpoints, where the Democrat Party is definitely more authoritarian when it comes to their economic standpoints.
And
they may have a little bit more freedom in mind, a little bit more libertarianism leaning when it comes to the economic issues on the right and the social issues on the left. However, it's not, you know, we don't agree with the Republicans economically and we don't agree with the Democrats socially. That's definitely not the case, because the Republicans want a whole bunch of stuff that's just horribly economically authoritarian, such as, you know, the protectionist tariffs, all that kind of stuff that just really stifles economic freedom. The limitation of the free movement of capital and labor across borders, stuff like that, that the right would say, but that's an economic issue. But we wouldn't agree with the right on those things. Or you have the left, where we'll agree with the, you know, rights for same-sex couples, and more towards the legalization of various drugs, decriminalization, and so forth. Well, we'll, you know, they'll want more regulation to that, where, say, a libertarian would want to say, we want, to quote one of the people who are running for the Libertarian Party nomination, Daryl W. Perry, drugs should be as legal as tomatoes. That would be the libertarian standpoint, not the, you know, let's have a medical program. Okay, now we're going to have a recreational program where you got to pay a bunch of fines. You know, that's not, you know, but we lean a little bit more towards that way, where we're something completely different. We're not, you know, a centrist, a centrist movement at all. It is something else entirely. You know?
Yeah, I would agree. If you're looking at a spectrum and there's kind of a left and a right side, I would say like libertarian is more up. Like it's not even on the same realm. It's something else entirely.
Yeah, exactly. Because that's two different forms of authoritarianism that we have.
Yes,
is we have left authoritarianism and right authoritarianism, and we're not authoritarian at all.
Right.
So, you know, you can't really put us in between them or on, but we may have a little bit of more of an agreement with some, and some people take that agreement to mean more than it does.
Yeah,
like you can find common ground with just about anybody. And, you know, there's always someone, even the most totalitarian, just horrible political idea, that you could find something in there that you may be able to say, okay, I can understand a point on that. Mm-hmm. It doesn't really matter what it is. You know, you'll be able to find it. But when you latch onto those common grounds and try and embrace that kind of thought into being against authoritarianism, so bringing authoritarianism into libertarianism doesn't really make any sense to me. And I see a lot of people trying to do that. And I kind of blame
that. Yeah.
I blame the Libertarian Party a lot. And I know I'm I myself am a Libertarian Party member, you know, and I've ran for office under the Libertarian Party banner many times. But I blame the Libertarian Party for a lot of the problems within the libertarian movement.
Okay.
I don't know. What
can
are your
you give
thoughts
me
on
like
that?
Well, I was just curious. Can you give me like an example of somebody trying to bring authoritarianism into the Libertarian Party?
Well, or the presidential candidate this year.
All right.
He was horrible. I mean, he was still better than, you know, the major two party candidates, but not by much, you know. But to have this, you know, this guy who is clearly not a libertarian, he might be a little bit more libertarian leaning than many Republicans.
Sure.
But, you know, and he was the spokesman for the libertarian movement.
Wasn't he?
Because as much as a lot of libertarians out there want nothing to do with the party, and I respect that a lot. I don't want someone who's not a libertarian going and, you know, spreading the word around like that.
Yeah,
you know?
it seems a little strange. I guess I was looking for like a concrete example of something somebody did to be authoritarian while they were claiming to be a libertarian. So I don't know. So one example might be the gentleman running for president wanted to. I think he said he was for forcing people to make cakes for gay couples. Like, would that be an example that you're thinking of?
That would be an excellent example of what I'm thinking of.
So,
or
so
him,
why is that? Why is that wrong, and why is that not libertarian in your mind?
Well, because it's forcing people. That's the authoritarianism. You know, he's ruling over him, saying you have to do this. You know, no, right. you don't have to do that. You know, he also talked about, you know, mandatory vaccines and a bunch of stuff. And you can have a debate all day on whether vaccines are beneficial or not. But one thing that can be said is, from a libertarian standpoint, is it definitely should not be forced. You know, that's one thing that can be said. Whether, you know, you could go back and forth all day about whether they're effective or whether anything about them. But a libertarian would say, no, that should not be forced. You should not be forced to do something against your will. You know, as long as it's not interfering, you know, with the equal rights of others to do the same kind of thing. You know. So you have a lot of problems with people, you know, coming out and saying, you know, even down to, you know, support of driver's licenses. Something as crazy as that. But
papers, please. Papers.
Papers, please. Exactly. You know, human beings have a right to travel. You know, that's just a natural human right dating back to the Magna Carta, you know, but, you know, we don't really have that anymore, do we? And it's not, you know, it's the authoritarians coming out and saying, oh, you need to have your papers in order to go from point A to point B. If you go from point A to point B without this license, your fees and fines and, you did it again. Oh, we're taking you to jail. And now you now you get locked in jail because all you want to do is travel from point A to point B.
Right.
You know, that's not right.
Definitely not. You know, let me be the devil's advocate kind of here for a minute. So something I've heard a lot of my own friends and family say is, you know, like I might say that, you know, having a driving license is ridiculous. And they'll say, well, you driving on the roads, you know, it affects other people because you might be putting them in danger. So kind of because you're affecting the society around you, as a society, we need to use force against you and make you have things like driving licenses, or we're going to force you to get a vaccine, something like that.
Well, you could make that argument to force someone to do just about anything.
Well, there you go. That's authoritarianism.
You know, that's authoritarianism. You know, you could force anyone to do anything for the greater good. You could make an argument that anything is the greater good. There, you know, people have justified genocide for the greater good. You know, this, you know, you can't go off of some idea of, oh, it's the greater good to get rid of individual rights. The individual is what is most important, is individual rights. You know, society doesn't have a right. An individual has a right that cannot be abridged by society.
Yep.
And that is what a libertarian recognizes that an authoritarian may not recognize.
Got it. Sounds like we're on our way out again. And I've learned that driving licenses are like genocide. Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Hi, have you heard about Bitcoin? Not Bitcoin, but Bipcoin. Bravo, India, Papa, Coin. Bipcoin is a new cryptocurrency that you can start mining today for free on ordinary computers. Unlike most altcoins, Bipcoin is not a clone of Bitcoin. Bipcoin is based on entirely new, more recent, and better code called CryptoNote. So unlike Bitcoin, Bipcoin has truly untraceable transactions, and we're working on adding distributed DNS functionality to Bipcoin. We're calling this .bip, and it will provide uncensorable domain names in an easy-to-use interface. Unlike previous systems attempting this, .bip will be simple for both the website owner and for people viewing websites. This will get at the worldwide adoption we need to keep speech free, and cyber squatting will not be a problem. Please help out with a donation or just share this with your friends if you can't chip in some cash or Bitcoin to save free speech around the world, because there are incoming regimes that hate honest criticism. Go to bipcoin.org. Once again, that's Bravo India Papa Coin.org.
Worst meow in the game.
I don't know, man. Mine's pretty bad.
At the top of my lungs at my broken computer, but I fixed it. Crisis averted.
Jim Jesus is back with a dry computer.
Yeah.
I just got to screw in 12 screws with a slashed finger. I'm going to do it once I get my manual dexterity. I don't know.
Dexterity? Yep.
Dexterity. Yep. There we go.
Yeah, I got some...
my computer.
I got some breaking news here, guys. Some check out bipcot.org. You'll find a sweet new blog post there. All Freedom Fiends, Guns and Weed, and Lulbert's merch is now 10% off. So all the flags, all the T-shirts, all the surgical masks, everything, 10% off. And I encourage everybody to check that out at bipcot.org.
Yeah, and nice. I'm getting a what is it? That's my purse. I don't know you. Anarcho. And I'm going to be doing a giveaway soon, so stay tuned to the Lulberts.
Ooh, nice.
That's a good one.
Yeah, and so we're going to be doing a giveaway on that one. And everyone's eligible unless you're a Lulbert.
That'd be a good. So I wanted to actually make a comment on your laptop. There was so you don't have any of the screws in it right now? You just kind of got it pieced together?
Yeah, I made the little plastic backing click back. And mm-hmm. I was like, that'll work.
You know, my old laptop I had before my current laptop, I had taken it apart. I don't know why. I forget what was wrong with it. But when I went to go put it back together, all the screws were missing. And I pieced it back together with no screws. It like worked for years without any of the screws in the laptop.
Little Gorilla Glue can't fix, right?
I didn't even Gorilla Glue it. It was just pieced back together with no screws, and it worked. It was great. So don't worry about the screws, basically, is the moral of that story.
Yeah. So I made a frantic post on Facebook saying the Lulberts is going to go on indefinite hiatus. That is not the case anymore. And I was going to cancel all my Freedom Fiends appearances and all my YouTube stuff for a while until I get everything in order. But it doesn't look like it's going to be the case. So I'm stuck on the interwebs again, back in that hole.
Terrible. Terrible.
Back on the interwebs. Uh-oh.
You try to get out and they drag you back in.
I wasn't trying to get out. I was forced out. Don't you dare make me progress my life. How dare you?
You got to go out on your own terms.
Yeah, I'll do my own downward spiral. Thank you very much. No, you don't make me do an upward spiral. How dare you? This is the current year.
Definitely not. Yeah, you can't go. You can't go without the internet, though.
We're too connected now.
Too connected. It's impossible to function without a computer nowadays. Maybe, you know, you can function on your phone, but everything is done on the computer nowadays. There is nothing. Like, even internet. We were talking about TV. TV earlier in the show. That's on the internet. You know, you get it through the internet now.
Like, I'll watch something on Netflix. Dang it.
Yeah. Everything's on the internet now. There's no escaping
I'll watch Fox News and CNN to get a fair and balanced approach to everything. No.
That's like the only thing TV. And even that you get in line, too. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, you watch that on YouTube, man.
Yeah.
You got Stossel and Kennedy and then garbage in between. It's all you get.
That's it,
I guess.
Yeah, that's a pretty funny show. I've seen that
only
a few times.
Michael
I don't know.
Malice makes his appearances on there. Sure. An anarcho-capitalist on a TV program. It's brilliant. I love it.
Yeah, I've seen a few episodes of it. I don't know. I don't really watch too much Fox News or CNN or MSNBC or any of those. Pretty much any TV. I don't watch anything just on TV. I watch all my things on the internet. It's all just shows.
I'm kind of forced to do it because, like, a lot of the nurses that I work with are constantly going into all the residents' rooms, and then when the TV's on, they'll just flip it over to CNN just to see what's going on outside. So I have to hear that in almost everywhere I go, and it's like, Fidel's wonderful.
That's what it says, yep.
That's ew.
That's CNN for you.
Communist News Network.
Nice.
I think this was good redemption.
Good redemption. I agree.
Yeah.
Flames.
Meow. Take it. That was a good meow, though.
Still got it. Best meow in the game. It was fun doing a 5-minute segment with you.